Your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of 2 Peter in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter number 1. Of course, Peter, one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's given him inspiration here as he writes 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and he is a servant, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He introduces himself there in verse number 1. And he does the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 1, identifies who he is, and therefore he has certain authority that God had given to the apostles, and now he has given the inspiration of God to write words that we can read this morning and apply them to our hearts and our lives and can better our Christian walk with the Lord. I want to pick up our reading in verse number 5 in the first chapter here of 2 Peter, and we'll read a few verses here, and then we'll look at even some verses above this portion. In verse number 5 says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." That's reading through verse number 14. Peter here is dealing with a personal need that I believe every one of us have as a believer, as a Christian. And he tells us some things that we are to add to our lives. In verse number 7, if you have these things, if these things abound, then you're not going to be barren. You're going to be a fruitful Christian. But then on the other side of that, in verse number 9, he says, but he that lacketh these things, and then he describes the condition spiritually of an individual that does not have and has not accomplished certain things in their life. One of the greatest hindrances, I believe, to Christianity is the problem of the Christian not growing spiritually, becoming a child of God, but not making that next step and being a person or an individual that would be able to learn and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it should be the desire of every Christian that we know more today than we did yesterday, that we have more understanding of spiritual things than we did maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It certainly is an important thing to the Christian that we do not remain in that baby stage of Christianity. Now, everybody realizes when we first get saved, we know very little about the things of God. One of the problems in many of our churches is that someone gets saved and we will immediately put them into doing something that they're really not equipped to do. It'd be sort of like putting a baby out and telling him to go hoe the garden or go take care of some things that that child cannot do. And so we must have this process of growing up spiritually in the things of the Lord. And by not doing that, then that hinders the individual. It hinders the whole work of the Lord. And certainly it is a hindrance to those that are not saved as they see what is taking or not taking place in the life of a believer. Now, we're not talking about salvation this morning. We do not do anything in order to go to heaven except believe upon the Lord. Salvation takes us to heaven, but growth brings a little bit of heaven to us upon this earth. And when we're saved, we're headed toward that land that's called heaven. But between the point of salvation and the point of leaving this life, there's a process of time that God uses in our lives that we are to grow. And the Bible says we're to grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this epistle, and even the first epistle, Peter is really giving forth some doctrinal teaching and indoctrinating the Jewish believers in the reality of what salvation is and what it brings. It's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to live and serve. And so Peter is, in these letters that the Lord gives him to write, he is trying to deal with these Jewish believers concerning salvation. And in these verses that we read this morning, we find there are some inherent things that the child of God has in their life. We have to remember the Jewish believer, they had problems accepting Gentile believers. For the Jews had been told and taught all their life, especially the sect of the Pharisees, they had been indoctrinated in the Jews' religion that they were better than anybody else. They were just a little bit above everybody else, and the Gentiles were nothing more than just dogs. But all of a sudden, the reality comes to them that Gentiles are getting saved, that Gentiles are becoming a part of the family of God, and even sometimes in the same location in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter is bringing them to the point and to understanding there's some things that we have given to us. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter what we where we find ourselves nationally and physically. God gives every believer some of these same things. In verse number 1, we did not read these first four verses, but in these first four verses, Peter tells these Jewish believers there's some things that we have all together. Thank God this morning there's not a Jewish heaven and a Gentile heaven. There's not an American heaven and a Chinese heaven. There's just heaven before us, and we have these things given to us by the Spirit of the Lord. Verse number 1, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Every Christian, every believer this morning has a like precious faith. We have the faith of the Son of God. We have the faith of the Word of God. We have the faith of the witness of the Lord in our heart and our lives. And so whether we be Jew, Gentile, whatever may be color of our skin, whatever the society that we live in, whatever nation we may be from, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all the same in this thing of precious faith. And it is a precious deliverance of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have also an unquestionable standing with God. If you look at the second part of that we have righteousness of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith, that righteousness that has come to us by faith, and we have a standing with the Lord. I'm glad I can stand with any believer, and we are equal in the sight of the Lord. It doesn't matter in salvation, doesn't matter how long we've been saved, doesn't matter how much we've accomplished or how much we've not accomplished. We stand together as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have that faith of the Lord. Verse number 2 tells us that we have grace that has been given to us. It says grace and peace. Those two things are given to every believer. It does not matter who we are. Grace is given, peace is given, grace to endure, and thank God, peace to trust the Lord that all things are well. I'm glad we can face adversity. I'm glad we can face problems. I'm glad we can even face disease in our bodies and our lives, and we can still have the peace of God running through us because He gives us that understanding that all things are well. Everything's good with Him, and nothing that He does is wrong with us, and it's all good and well. And so we have peace to trust the Lord, grace to endure those things. We have a power in verse number 3, the power of God, that we can overcome some things. We have a reality in verse number 4 of a changed life. He has given us great and exceeding precious promises that we are partakers of a divine nature. And that's the reality of a changed life. And we have a home that's ahead of us. We sang this morning about heaven. Thank God for heaven. And the reality of that, we have an eternal home. We have a place that has been given to us because of our belief in our Savior. Salvation is by grace, and it is by grace to everyone that will believe. Every believer is saved the same way, praise the Lord. I've heard people say, well, you get saved your way, I'll get saved my way. Well, you get saved your way, and if I get saved my way, neither one of us are saved. But we get saved God's way. And everybody that goes to heaven is saved the same way. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 15, verse 11, says, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And so he says there are some over here that are saved. And he said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will bring us to the point, and we believe that that grace will save us just like it did them. I'm glad this morning there's not a four or five different ways and you try to figure out which one's right. I'm glad there's not a different denominational way. I'm glad there's not a national way. I'm glad there's not a society way. I'm glad there's only one way, and that's God's way. It's called the gospel. And the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this verse there in Acts 15 speaks of the Gentile or the Galatian believers and Old Testament believers and Jewish believers. So there's all kind of believers. But if we go to heaven, we go to heaven the same way. If we go to heaven, it doesn't matter if it's Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter where we find ourselves, because there's no difference. Romans, Paul says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. He is rich to everyone, to all that calls upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I heard that preacher say this morning when he's talking about heaven, he's talking about all that go. He said, I looked it up in the Hebrew. I looked it up in the Greek. He said the word all, guess what it means? It means all. Everybody, everything. And we all come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no difference. And He is the same Lord over all of us. And He is the Lord of His people. And He has given unto us His riches and His grace and mercy. Every believer comes to the Lord in faith, believing, and repentance, and turning from the old life and turning to the new life offered by Jesus Christ. Every believer has eternal life. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse number 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Eternal life is the only kind of life that God gives. And so we have that as a gift from the Lord. And then I believe every believer is instilled by the Lord that we need to grow and prosper spiritually. That's a need in our life. And that need never is over. Doesn't matter how long we are saved, doesn't matter how many years has passed over us as a Christian, we still have that need from the Lord, a need in our heart that we need to grow and prosper in the things of God. Now, spiritual growth is different for different people. just as salvation is the same, growth is different. You can take, let's say, four people that have gotten saved, and they get saved the same day. They get saved the same time. They hear the same message. They repent. They turn to the Lord. They get saved. They all get saved the same way. But from that moment on, there becomes differences in their lives because of the choices they make in their life. Spiritual growth is different because it is left up to the individual believer. I can grow or I don't have to grow. I can grow fast or I can take it slow. And I don't have to move a step. I have met some people that have been saved a number of years, and you know what? They're still very young in the work of the Lord. Their spiritual growth has somehow been depleted, and they're not where they ought to be, and Paul even talks about that in some of his writings. But we do have an obligation to grow in the Lord. We have an opportunity to grow in the Lord. Some people don't grow in God. Some people spiritually do not make that growing process because they don't give the Lord a chance to teach them and to train them. They don't take that opportunity to become a spiritual mature adult. Some do and some do not. Some have less opportunity of others. Some people in foreign countries and foreign lands, they maybe sometimes don't have the same opportunity as you and I do in our country to prosper in the Lord and to grow mentally and spiritually in the things of God because they do not have that opportunity. And so as salvation is same for everybody, this thing of spirituality is not the same for everyone. Many times, most of the time, it is dependent upon what we want and what we do not want. Two of the most prevalent problems concerning the lack of spirituality is, number one, they choose carnality over spirituality. Paul said, you're carnal, as he writes to the Corinthian church. He tells them they are still babes in Christ. And so when a person refuses to take that opportunity, or they have the lack of spiritual growth, they sometimes, most of the time, every time, they will choose worldly things, carnal things, fleshly things over spiritual things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing that those that oppose themselves." Sometimes we are the biggest opponents we have of our spiritual growth. It's not necessarily the surroundings around us. It's not how we were raised. It's not giving reasons for something else. But many times the lack of our spiritual growth is our own opposition to that thing of spirituality. And Paul talks about that in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. They don't desire to have that and that have service. And Paul says, I still need to instruct them even though they oppose it. He goes on and says, if God preadventure, I will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth and that it may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And so we find that many times carnality will overshadow and will overtake the child of God. He's born again. He's saved. He has no much fruit of that other than the knowledge in his heart that what he did, he followed the direction of the Lord. But they have let other things take precedent in their life, and therefore they have no spirituality in their life. They are spiritual babes willingly because they reject the Word of God by not hearing it and not taking heed to it. There's a lot of people out there this morning that are not in the house of God. If they were in God's house, they would learn very important things in their life where they could serve God and be happy in their service to the Lord. But they've got other things. They've got other important things to them they think are more important. And so they willfully reject the opportunity that God has given them by not hearing or taking heed to what God has given to them. Hebrews chapter 5, I believe Paul writes in verse number 12, and even over into verse chapter number 6, Paul says, "For when you have, the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again." Paul said, "There's something lacking in your life because you have been in this long enough to be a teacher, but you have to have somebody to teach you again and again and again." Not willing to take those things to heart. And he says, "To teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Paul tells them in the book of Hebrews, he uses those two little terms, milk and meat. He uses that in Corinthians, milk and meat. The milk of the Word of God is the very simple, very easy things that we all must have. Just as a child, just as a baby, must have the nourishment of milk and must have the nourishment to grow, so must the child of God. But there comes a point in time that baby moves off of the milk and moves to solid food, moves to those things that are more sustainable in their life. And so Paul says here, you have come to be such as to have need of milk and not of strong meat. He says in this next verse, he says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful." Paul says, if you've been saved for a while, and you're still taking and desiring and must have the milk of the Word of God, you're unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Paul very clear when he says that. If we continue in that state, then we are nothing more than a babe in Christ, unskillful in the word of righteousness. But he goes on here in Hebrews chapter 5. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are our full age." Full age, strong meat. He says here, meat that is able, or food that is able to sustain you, is given to those that are of full age. That means you're no longer sipping the milk, but now you're chewing the food. You're no longer taking the easy things, but you're getting into the meat of the Word of God, and you chew on it, and it nourishes you, and it gives you strength, gives you understanding, gives you knowledge. How do we know what we know? How do we believe what we believe? We believe it because this book has it contained in this these pages that we call Holy Bible, that teaches us and trains us not only how to be saved, but how to serve. Not only to become a Christian like everybody can become a Christian, but that we are to be a child of God that would be nourished in the good things of the Lord. We start out on the milk and the easy things of God. One of the worst things a new Christian can do is to go and say, "Well, I'm going to go read my Bible now, and I'm going to start in Revelation." Now, you're starting in the wrong place. That's not hardly understandable for those that have been in it a long time. And so, but they want to dive right into something that they can't handle. It's like a little baby, and it's time for nourishment. It's time to eat, and you just lay out a hamburger in front of them. Said, "There it is." They can't handle that. They can't take that. But there comes a time when that hamburger is pretty good. We notice it in our own children. They go from in different stages of eating. We notice it in our grandchildren. I didn't think James would ever graduate from McDonald's. And Becca was as bad. And now they always had to have those stupid little Happy Meals that had useless toys in there, but they thought they was precious. And they graduate from that. And then now Rebecca, she's, "Now I don't want a Happy Meal no more, not enough in it." Graduated. They've gone from one place to another. Didn't used to ever eat anything except the pickles, the bread and maybe a bite or two of the meat. Now she wants it all. And that's the way we are as a Christian. We make progress in our spiritual life like we do our physical life. And so we find here that Paul says that strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, Paul says there comes a time when we exercise, we know what's right, we know what's wrong, we take in the meat of the Word of God, and we follow the message that God gives to us. That's growing in God's grace. But there are some dangers of not growing spiritually. There are some results of not growing up spiritually, and we'll look at those in a few moments. The spiritual growth that we have, it takes a desire. Growing spiritually does not just happen like growing physically does. Our babies will grow physically if everything works right and as they should be. They're going to grow physically and they're going to grow mentally and they're going to grow every way because that's just the process. But in this thing of spiritual growth, it takes a desire of individual responsibility is that I need to know more. I need to have more understanding. I want to know more. I desire not just the lay me down to sleep type things, but I want to know really some things about the Word of God. I want to know some things about the Scripture. It takes desire. It takes discipline. As I said a while ago, it doesn't just happen. We must discipline ourselves to make sure we have certain things in our life. And it takes diligence. It takes every day, day in, day out, diligence in serving the Lord. Verse 5 says, and besides this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith. Add to those things. And it takes discernment. I want to give you some few things this morning. It won't take long to do this. Of some dangers or some results of not growing up spiritually. Of not having everything as it should be in our life spiritually. We haven't had the desire. We haven't had the discipline. We haven't taken the diligence. We do not know discernment. And so therefore, there are results of what takes place spiritually in our lives. Number one, the most unhappy person is a person that knows they're saved, but yet they have no growth, and you will become unfaithful in the work of the Lord. It's just a proven fact. Faithfulness should not be optional. When a person gets saved, when an individual knows the Lord, faithfulness ought to be the first thing in their desire. But when we do not grow up, then we become very unfruitful and much time unfaithful in the things of the Lord. John 15:8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Jesus says, if you want to glorify the Father, bear fruit. If you want to honor the Lord, then have fruit in your life, bear fruit. And then he says, and so shall ye be my disciples. John 15:2 says, every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring more fruit. The more you purge it, the more you cut it, the more you are able to have fruit in your life. But an unfaithful person, dispiritual person, will not have that fruit in his life because he has left those things undone. The result of not being spiritually involved in the work of the Lord is that we have no fruit. We have nothing to offer to the Lord. We have nothing to give because it's left barren. It's left unto itself. Number two, not only will you be unfruitful, but you will be spiritually blind. The scripture that we read this morning says they're blind and cannot see afar off, cannot see a long distance off. If you have these things, certain things are there. You abound, and you're neither barren nor unfruitful. But if you lack these things, first things mentioned there in verse number 9, the person that lacks these things of growing in the Lord is blind. Spiritually, just cannot see spiritual things. Have you had anybody ever tell you, I just don't see it that way? You can take the Word of God. You can show them black and white, written down on paper. This is what God says, and they say, I don't see it that way. They're spiritually blind. They just cannot comprehend. They cannot take spiritual truth, and they cannot see afar off. They have no understanding. They have no diligence. They have no ability to really get into the things of God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. They couldn't see, just afar off. And so when we come to know the Lord, one of the first things we ought to do is follow Him and be obedient unto Him, have the blessings of the Lord given to us, and we prosper in the good things of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. We don't need treasures here on earth. We must have treasures in heaven to have the treasures of God. And He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. So if we're going to have spiritual awakening in our life, we must have the ability, and we must have the ability to see what God has for us. And so when we have no spirituality, when we do not have growth, then we are blind, we're unfruitful, thirdly, and we will have forgotten that we have been purged. Somebody says, can a person forget what God's done for them? Well, sometimes they can live like they forget what God has done for them. They have forgotten that He was purged. Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We have, as we do not grow, as we do not prosper, we really forget how important our salvation is to our lives and to our loved ones and to those around us. Number four, the fourth result of not having spirituality in our life is found here in our text. If you have these things, verse 10, ye shall never fall. If you do not have them, then the opposite of that is that you will fall. There will be problems. There will be things that come to our life. We will stumble and fall over false doctrine. We'll stumble and fall over a multitude of things that keeps us out of the will of God. Acts chapter number 20. And now behold, I'm bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saving that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry, which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul did not fail what God gave him. Paul did not fall short of doing what the Lord had told him to. He said, I don't even count my life dear. I don't even count it precious. He said, most importantly, that I finish my course with joy, and that to show that I have received the Lord Jesus, giving the gospel of God's grace. And then lastly, we find that we will have no reward. The rewards that God gives to us will be handed out at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ doesn't determine whether we go to heaven or hell. That's determined right now. That's determined here. That's determined what we do with the Lord while we're breathing, while we're living. But our eternity is determined by how we serve. Everybody that's saved is going to go to heaven. But not everybody that's saved is going to get the same reward, because he's going to judge us according to the works done in our body. I think we ought to diligently strive. I believe we ought to work till Jesus comes, because there is a time when man shall work no more. We need to serve him. We need to honor him. We work not in order to get saved. We work because we are saved. We work and we do what we do because there's those around us, of our families and our friends, that need to see Christ living in us. So there is a danger if we do not grow spiritually. There's a danger of our loved ones never seeing Christ in us. It's an amazing thing what some people believe, or some people have told others about spirituality. I hear some of the most bizarre stories, and I wonder, where in the world does that come from? And then I wonder, why are you asking me that? Why would a person that's saved for a number of years ever be troubled over some far out, way off the key things that are told to us? Why would that bother us? It's because we haven't made that step of spirituality that we should. It's because we haven't got in this book. It's because we don't know what God says. Too many Christians live on what the preacher says instead of what the book says. Too many people live on what they've been told than what they've experienced. We are to grow in the knowledge and the truth and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to grow up. No longer just taking milk, breakfast, lunch, and supper, and snack. No longer taking just the easy things, but getting into the meat of the Word of God, so that we can be productive and so that we can show the world that Christ has literally changed us and made us something new and fresh. There is a danger of not growing up spiritually. One of the very first statements, one of the biggest hindrances to Christianity, is the problem of not growing spiritually. That's why we have problems. Well, I think it ought to be this way. Doesn't matter what God says, we haven't grown up spiritually. And so may God help us to realize we do have some things. We're all the same when it comes to salvation. We have those six or seven things that I mentioned. But our progress in the work of the Lord is determined by what we do with the Word of God. It is determined by our attitude toward Him. It is determined by our attitude toward the Word of God and how much we get in it. It's determined by our dedication. It's determined by our determination. It's determined by our desire. Four people can get saved. They're all going to heaven. But those four people take four different routes in their spiritual life. One may be very, very broken and not happy and dissatisfied, not even sure that they're going to heaven. They've forgotten they've been purged. One may be very happy, very obedient, and working very hard. Why is the difference? One desired it and one didn't. One took their opportunity, one shunned it off. I'll do it later. I'm saved, that's all that matters. Oh, that should never be the attitude of a Christian. I'm saved, that's all that matters to get me to heaven. But that's not all that matters in the Christian life. May God help us not to find ourselves falling short in our spiritual growth of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together this morning.